If you opened them up, we're going to do a different message this morning. We've been in Revelation and we're getting close to the end. We're excited to celebrate what things are going to be like here on earth in the new kingdom of God. But this morning, and we have Bibles up front, so if anyone would like to get a Bible and follow along with us, you can. But we're in John's Gospel this morning and we're thinking about the freedom that we have. And in John's Gospel, and then with the children here and everything right now, I'm just going to allow you to be where you're at, and I'm just going to read God's Word right now. In John's Gospel chapter 8, in John chapter 8, and in verse 31, we're looking at just a few verses. In John chapter 8, in verse 31, it says, the Bible speaking, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' And they answered him, and they said to Jesus, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' And Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" And Father, as we prayed earlier, again, just asking your blessing, open up our hearts, help us to receive your word this morning. And I pray specifically that we would understand in a biblical way the freedom that you're offering and what it means and how it will transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Just three words this morning, just three words. The first word is abide, the second word is obey, and the third word is avoid. Abide, obey, and avoid. What we're looking at this morning is a sense of the freedom that Christ is offering, and I thought about that. And I thought about the day in which we live, the culture that we live in right now. This culture will say often, and you hear it often, and it's "the truth shall set you free." It's a theme. It's an anthem of the culture that we live in today. The truth shall set you free. But I believe that it's an absolute misrepresentation of what Jesus is speaking about to us today from his word. For example, the culture, when they hear "I can be set free," that is to, in the culture, to do whatever I want. And that's not the correct view of the freedom. True freedom is the ability to know right from wrong and to make the right choices. I was thinking of some of the songs that are part of our nation. The Star Spangled Banner, it says, "Oh, say, does that Star Spangled Banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave?" Again, as I recite a few of these, you'll see the freedom that we have. You'll see also an exaltation of God. "My country," that song. "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, O thee I sing. Land where my fathers die, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. Our fathers guard to thee, author of liberty. To thee we sing, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy mind, great God, our King." These are our songs. These are the songs of our nation. "America, the beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea." So in these songs, we see a sense of a great expression of the freedom that we have. But listen, this is perhaps the freest nation, perhaps, that has ever lived on the earth. But yet, as I look at it, it's perhaps in the biggest bondage ever. That this freedom that we're embracing, there's great bondage. See, I was looking into U.S. News and World Report. This was in 2015, a year ago, but they said Addiction in America is perhaps the most neglected disease, according to Columbia University. 40 million Americans age 12 and over meet the clinical criteria for addiction, either with nicotine, alcohol, or other drugs. I realize that our nation is about nearly $20 trillion in debt. And I realize that the amount of adults in our nation, perhaps a nearly 200 million adults that could work, how do you pay off that debt? Per person, it's about $100,000. So per household, it's about $200,000. This freedom has created great bondage. And Jesus is not speaking about a freedom that brings bondage. He's speaking about a freedom that brings deliverance. And we get to look at this morning. True freedom is difficult. Why? It's difficult because you have a choice to do what is right or wrong. When we're raising our children in the homes, you basically dictate the freedom that they can have or not have. It's under your leadership there. And actually, it's a good thing. It provides boundaries and safety. And in a sense, your children, as they're growing, they don't have that responsibility and that weight upon them. You pay the freight, mom and dad, for that. And they're so excited to get out and experience their newfound freedom. And you have no idea what awaits you. Because what awaits you is the reality of that responsibility. And with that responsibility, you're now on your own to know what is right and to know what is wrong and to make the right choices and to bear the consequences of the wrong choices. And this is what freedom is. So a lot of times people don't want freedom. I don't want that responsibility. We need to grow up. We need to see what the Lord says to us. Now, back to our text. We'll go through this. The first word was abide. In verse 31, Jesus said to those who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Now, this is what I like, and I never pointed this out before. You know how strongly I communicate discipleship. It's in my heart. It's a part of what we do to make disciples, right? Well, right here, we're going to define discipleship a little bit differently. Listen, we want to be, you want to be, I want to be, something new, a new title. We want to be called disciple indeed. See right here in the text, "You are my disciples indeed." So I want to be a disciple indeed. And what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. Specifically here, a disciple is anyone who in a voluntary way says, "I want to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ." This is a disciple. So stay with me now. So Jesus is making it really clear. Jesus says, "I want you to be free. I want you to be free in ways you've never known before. I want you to be set free." And the way that you're going to be set free, first and foremost, is by abiding in my word. Now, let me give you an illustration right here, because illustrations are really helpful regarding this word abide. With this word abide, today it was really raining hard earlier on. I didn't know what kind of day it was going to have. And then miraculously, it kind of changed, and we're just going to have a different day. But stay with me. Let's just say for my illustration right now, it's like the fall time of the year, you know, where it's really cold and kind of crispy, and it can be a little bit sunny, but you're changing and transitioning. And in my mind, just in my mind, what I'm thinking about is this. Stay with me. I'm going to give you a picture. What I'm thinking about, you know, river rocks that can be put on a fireplace? Okay, stay with me. Here I'm painting a picture. I like river rocks. This is a great look, too. But in my mind, stay with me, river rocks on a big fireplace, not a little teeny thing, not a phony fake one, a real big fireplace with river rocks. Big, wide, chimney up. I'm looking at that. And it's real wood. It's burning. And not just like a little presto log. Good stuff. Fire. And then I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking, I like this. Now, I love leather. I don't see it all that much, but I love it, okay? So I'm thinking of this leather chair. just back from the fireplace. And I don't like those little cruising ones they have now where you put your head back and you get a whiplash. I mean, I want one that I just sink inside of like a baseball glove. Good leather. Not phony leather, not plastic leather. I mean, leather that just, it wraps around you when you sit in it. And you sink back. And it's not a big couch, it's a chair. It's my chair. I'm in my chair. And then, they always have those complimentary, but you pay for that, little footstool that goes with those chairs. That's as much as the couch. Anyways, so you put that there. Now listen, I am sitting in my leather chair. It's got some armrests. My feet are up. The fire's burning like this. I just say, this is all my imagination, so thank you for putting it up with me. But I just say, I am home. This is home. This is great. I'm home. I'm right here. I'm home. This is a great experience. The word abiding, it means that. The word abiding means I'm at home. So when Jesus says abide in the word, I'm going to transition so we understand this. So when I'm in this place I've just created in my mind, this fireplace, the river rock, the leather chair, I'm there, perfect situation, I'm just feeling right at home. As I'm there, if I look around and maybe on one of the side shelves, there's some videos that, you know what, I just don't want those videos here, get those out of there. And there can all of a sudden be some other things, you know, as you're enjoying this sense of I'm home, but there's things that start to encroach on this experience. There's things that as you look around, it's like, why is that here? Why is all this distraction? I liked it when there wasn't. And so you want to clear it out. And you just want that feeling of, wait a minute, I just want to be at home. Are you with me? So now, let's take it from the Word of God, where it says, if you abide in my word. God's word wants to abide in us like that. God's word wants to land in our heart like I land on the couch, on the chair, on the leather chair. He wants his word to land on me. And he wants his word to feel like, you know what? I'm at home in Pastor Tom. I'm at home right here. And as God's word is at home right here, then God's, as it's here, anything that brings conflict to the holy word of God, God says, deal with that. I'm not feeling at home right now. There's things that are cluttering up this sense of being with you and abiding in my word. It's cluttering it up. Let's get rid of that stuff. So as God's word abides in us, he might like to rearrange a few things. He might like to purge a few things. You follow me? So when we're looking at this, I want to be a disciple indeed. See, if I'm not a disciple indeed, then what I am is somebody who's proclaiming to be a believer, but there's no evidence of somebody that's living for the Lord. There's no evidence. I become a poser, a pretender. And indeed, Christian, he says, is somebody who's abiding with him. And then verse 32, there's another word here, and it's what we wrap the word obey around. We mentioned abide and obey and avoid, but in verse 32, it says, you shall know the truth. Now, this word know, it comes from the word gnosko, and what it means is this, and this is so important. If we can get this, it's going to help us out. This word know is an experiential plus the knowledge of God's word. So there's one thing is, if someone says you're in the know, that means you may have knowledge about something. And certainly we want to have knowledge about God's word. But with that, this word know, it's an experience with the word of God and with God. For example, you saw the bus we were on that went down to Olympia. Now, last week at this time, I knew that they were going to have this event in Olympia. I knew it. I knew about this Decision America. I know about Pastor Franklin Graham. I know that. I know it's a good thing. I know that. but I didn't experience. It wasn't the gnosko type of no. Now, on Wednesday, we got on the bus and had to go through a few things before it all worked out, but it did. We got down there just in time. When we got off the bus and started going down a sidewalk, maybe 50 yards or so, not too far, but the speakers were on loud, and I could hear Pastor Franklin Graham, and I heard him talk about his dad. And not only is that exciting for me to hear him talk about his dad, but I knew it had to be the beginning of the message because he's going to bring his dad in as he starts a message, just what he would do. So we were really there for that part. And when we got there, for those of us, I think, that went, it was an experience of the presence of God. Of the presence of God. What do I mean by that? We've all been probably to sporting events and activities, and they rally up the crowd, and you could do the wave, and it's just a lot of human energy rallying up enthusiasm. There was nobody there rallying any of that. It was just the presence of God rallying our hearts towards Jesus. Amen? For those that were there, that's what it was. It was an experience. Now, I can't go experience that today or tomorrow or to re-experience. I was there, and I experienced it. When Jesus says, you are my indeed disciples, it means that you are abiding in his word, and his word is at home in you. You don't make his word uncomfortable. As his word is in you, and as he's showing you things that you need to change or rearrange, you say, absolutely. And then this no is the experience, because obedience comes with abiding. So as we're abiding with him, and as we know and we experience him, we want to obey him. We want to follow his ways. Now, it comes to our third thing. We talked about abide. We talked about obey. And then the other word is avoid. Now, what happens is, with Jesus, there's conflict that's going to take place. Notice in verse 33, the objection against Jesus from the religious leaders, the protest against Jesus, he's saying, I will set you free. It's my truth that abides in you, and you experience it, and you live it out, and you'll be free. And they're saying, look at verse 33, listen, Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone, so how can you say you will be made free? This is so sad. Because, just listen, friends, listen. They're saying, the religious leaders, top of the line, Jesus says, I'm here to set you free from the bondage. They go, we're not in bondage, and we've never been in bondage. Excuse me? What about Pharaoh? Didn't Pharaoh have you in bondage for years? Wasn't there a man named Moses who took you out? God delivered you from that bondage? Excuse me, Abraham's descendants. Excuse me. What about the Babylonian captivity? You know, where Daniel was taken and all the others, and what happened to your nation and the Assyrians and what they did to your nation? Excuse me, you've never been in bondage? Excuse me? Right now, where he's talking to him, right now, you're underneath the oppression of Rome. Rome holds you in bondage to them, and you want Jesus to come to overthrow Rome. You're looking for Jesus to take out Rome right now. And you say that you're not in bondage? Listen now. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. Those who are in bondage do not know that they're in bondage. Those who are in bondage, they're blind to it. They're absolutely blind to it. It's obvious to others, but they are blind to that. And just like they think, Jesus, you're out of your mind. What are you talking about? Don't you know who we are? And that's what comes against us. See, the enemy, this world, and our own flesh will deceive us. And it will blind us to the truth. And once we're blinded to the truth, then we're bound up. And we don't even know it. Bound up and don't even know it. So Jesus says, this is something I want you to avoid. Truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So Jesus was telling us that we want to abide and we want to obey and we want to avoid sins, sins that enslave us. He says, I want you to be free. This world says, I'm not in bondage. I used to be in bondage, but I'm not anymore. Listen, we will always be in bondage unless Jesus delivers us from bondage without Christ. What are you talking about? Listen, I know it's not a dance. It almost sounds like a dance. Have you ever done the sin shuffle? The sin shuffle? What I mean is, I have one dominating sin, and I finally can confront this sin, and I feel like I'm dealing with this sin, but just, it just, the sin shuffle, there's something else. It's replaced by some other sin. It's just the sin shuffle. That's what goes on. So you feel good, like, hey, I'm making progress. Well, you may. That one area, that's good. You're no longer dominated in that one area. But its head popped up in another area, and it's just a different thing that you're contending with. And then you say, well, okay, Pastor, then is it possible to be free? Jesus says to be free indeed. I want to be a free indeed disciple. How does that take place? Well, the religious leaders were involved in self-denial. And from that became angry. They denied the truthful assessment of Christ and his word. They ignored the historical patterns of sin. They ignored the present evidence of sin. They believed that, you know, your bondage is freedom. That's what they believed. And they'll actually fight to remain a slave to sin. And that's what's taking place. So somebody that does not want Jesus, his word gives us a truthful assessment. His word gives me the assessment. His word says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says, I am a sinner. Own it. And then you want to fight it. And you get mad at God. And you get mad at others that tell you the things about God. But if you look at your life, there's a historical pattern of sin in your life you've been trying to deal with, and you've never gotten it under control. And then there's the present evidence of sin. So there's things that you're doing right now that it's evidence that sin, that you're a slave to sin. And those that are a slave to sin, they don't realize the bondage that they're in. Even today, listen, our nation makes laws to put its people in bondage to sin. Our nation makes laws that says, here's some new freedom, and all that freedom is going to do is put you and our country in greater bondage. That's what it's doing. Now, here's the answer, the solution. I don't want to be a slave to sin. Great. How can I change? Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7. Listen now. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Listen, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir with God. What's the answer? The answer is to become a son of God, to be a believer in Jesus Christ, because now you're a family, and now you've been forgiven. So you say, Pastor, listen, I am a believer. I have been forgiven. But when you're talking about this, sin still dominates my life. And there's specific sins that dominate my life. And I'm battling this. And I don't feel set free. And I feel a slave to this sin. Some specific sin still has a grip on me. You know, Paul said the same thing. Paul said, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I am doing. Paul said, listen, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of sin and death? As a believer, he's proclaiming that. And God says, thanks be to God, for there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You've been set free. Okay, I realize that. But, Pastor, I want to have greater victory. Okay, here's the answer. It's again in Romans 8. Romans 8 is such a victorious chapter in God's Word. In Romans chapter 8, again, you can know this, but you must kenosko it. You must experience this next Word of God. In Romans 8, in verse 10 and 11, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You think, do you have, Pastor, maybe a little illustration and I could grab this? You told me about that leather chair and I'm sitting in that and that's good. You told me about a bus trip and an experience and I'm getting that experience. But what about this? When you go to the airport and you see these massive planes, the 747 huge or the new Dreamliner, and it's on this runway, and you think, how in the world does that take off? I mean, I've got my little luggage here and it slips and it falls and everybody looks at me. I mean, how's that big thing with all that luggage on it? How does it go? I mean, gravity still exists out there. Gravity pulling it down. Well, there's something on that jet that is more powerful than that force of gravity. It overrides that force of gravity, and it's able to take off marvelously in the air. Listen now. Sin still exists. And that gravity of sin, that gravity of sin pulling us down exists. We need help. And in Romans 8, it says, help is in the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God will give us the power to lift us above that challenge and that sin. Someone says, well, Pastor, listen, I'm under the circumstances. Let's get it straight. Let's not live under the circumstances. Let's live above the circumstances. I haven't ignored it. I still have to contend with it. I didn't escape it. The circumstances still exist. But I'm not going to let the circumstances crush me. I'm going to ask God's Spirit and the power of His Spirit to raise me up above them, to have a perspective from God. Dear Lord, we love You. We love Your Word. We want to abide in Your Word. And if we abide in Your Word, then we're going to obey Your Word. And when we obey Your Word, abiding and obey, moving together, it's an experience. It's like, I know, and I know for certain, because God's at work. God just helped me. God just delivered me. Things that had a grip on me, Christ is helping me out. There's things to avoid. I don't want to deny God's truth. There's been a pattern of sin in my life. I don't want to ignore it. If the Spirit of God and the Word of God points out sin in my life, I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to say, God, You're right and I'm wrong. I want to avoid sin. I want You to help me. And the Lord says, remember, sons and daughters of the living Lord and King, Jesus Christ, you're in His family. And He didn't save us to set us up for failure. He saved us to deliver us, to set us free. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. I'm just so thankful for our family service. I'm so thankful for the children. And just, you've been great today, young people. Thank you so much. But Lord, as we leave here today, may this be a different 4th of July for us. We are grateful for the freedoms we have to preach His word and to live for Him right now. But help us understand what true biblical freedom is. It's not my way, and it's not my will, and it's not doing whatever I feel I have the liberty to do. It's using my liberty and my freedom not to indulge myself, but to serve others. That's what you've called us to do. We're set free to love you and to serve others, no longer dominated by sin. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.